Warning, we are a spoilers podcast. At times, we are also an offensive podcast. And we are most certainly a verbally explicit podcast. So if you fear for any of your delicate sensibilities, please back up now before you reach the point of no return. All right, pussies, this is your final warning.
Welcome to another disheveled, unkempt, and unraveled episode of Cinematic Anarchy. And today, we have with us...
It's just us two.
It's just us. Well, we got your dog wandering around in the background, and, of course, the...
he's being a shit.
We've gotten the proverbial 10-minute warning from the boyfriend here.
Before he starts yelling.
Miss B's boyfriend, not mine. I've got to be specific.
Know.
I didn't exactly say whose it was, you know. Okay, anyway. And today we're going to go ahead and have a nice brief discussion about a film that we both fell in love with. Mary Elizabeth Winstead starring in Kate.
Kate.
Which is a very unassuming name, to be honest.
It's simple.
If I knew like, nothing about the film...
Like Becky.
Becky. Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
If I knew nothing about the film, it's just another name, another movie with a girl's name. You don't see a lot of, like... Actually, no, that's... Untrue. You do. You do see quite a bit of male-named movies.
Do.
Movies with just men's name. All right. I'm tripping over my tongue already, and I have not even gotten 2 minutes into the podcast with you, Miss B, so I apologize.
Anyway, this is a good-ass fucking movie. Let's get into it.
Let's move on. Otherwise, I can just ramble at the screen for a while. All right. And just to give you a brief synopsis, this film follows Kate, an assassin whose mentor and handler, played by Woody Harrelson, assigns her to kill a high-ranking Yakuza target. During Kate's final mission, she finds out she has been poisoned and has, at most, a day to live. So she uses her last hours...
Polonium 204.
She uses her last hours to get revenge and find out who set her up. So, right away we have... I was apprehensive. Because they've been churning out a lot of woman gets scorned or spurned or something fucking terrible happens to them, and then she goes and kills every male that happens to have come up against her to do that. She didn't kill any women. Again, this is another entire movie of no women getting killed. It's all her against a bunch of guys.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the Yakuza doesn't really have, like, high-ranking... women.
Oh, okay. I guess in all fairness, there's not a lot of high-ranking women within the Yakuza.
It's like, you know, it's being accurate.
All right, that is fair. You're right, that is fair.
And they've got different clans.
All right. See, you're just putting me in my place, left and right here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta be fucking accurate.
No, you don't.
Yeah. No.
I mean, you have to suspend your belief in reality just to watch the movie. Just a little. So our film, it opens up with Kate on what is supposed to be her final mission. So basically, or no, this isn't her final mission. This isn't her final mission.
She decided that the next mission was going to be the final one because when she was going to do this kill, there was a child there.
Right.
And
they insist.
They only have
on...
one rule is don't make the hit if there's a kid there. No children.
And that one single rule apparently they couldn't follow and they pressed her.
Fucking.
Well, somebody else wanted to be part of the podcast.
You.
And that is Miss B's little munchkin, the little puppy.
I will fucking cook you up rotisserie style and eat you, bro.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to make puppy chicken wings.
Shh.
No.
Wouldn't be wings. He's a dog.
Okay.
It'd be thighs.
Drumsticks. Whatever.
He's got the zoomies.
Either way, you're not eating the dog. Let's just reassure our viewers that you do not plan to cook and eat your dog.
Oh, I'm totally going to eat him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If they can't hear the fucking sarcasm in my voice, then that's on them, not me.
Well, you know, people in general, they're skittish and they like to complain, so...
Yeah.
You have to make sure that you don't... Oh, fuck it. I mean, eat the dog if you want.
I don't care. Give a fuck.
All right. Let's move on from the...
Back to Kate.
The mastication of your pet, and we'll go back to Kate. So, Kate obviously has to take the shot. Take a shot at the... was this the Yakuza boss the first time, too? Or was that his brother, right?
His brother.
His brother he took out. Okay, so they were taking out a high-ranking official, I'm guessing, to bring out the Yakuza boss.
Kijima.
Because ultimately, that was their endgame, was him, taking him down. And she didn't actually realize that she was sort of a pawn in a game that was bringing... You find that out later on.
You know? Yeah. Later on, when the final hit that she decides it's going to be the last one, she goes off, she has a talk with Woody Harrelson's character, V.
Right.
Varric. And she's like, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. I want a normal life. My life has never been mine. This and that, blah, blah. He's like, you'll be back.
You know, no matter... I think this is just because I've watched Cheers. But... There are very few movies that I can take Woody Harrelson as a certifiable badass in any right. Very few movies. I mean, even in Zombieland, his character, he was a badass, but he was a fucking goof. He really was. You know, you had...
I mean, that's who he is.
You had his character Mickey in Natural Born Killers, which was just him manic and crazy. But him being just sort of stern-faced and serious, I had a tough time with. Like, I'm used to his sort of manic attitude, not what we got from this movie. So of everything that went on in this movie, I think there are several peoples that they... several people that they could have gone with in his place... That probably would have delivered a better performance. I wasn't fond of Woody Harrelson in this movie.
So who would you have put in his place?
Oh, good lord. There's several people that I could think of off the top of my head.
Pick your top three. Pick your top three.
If James McAvoy was a little older...
Oh.
They definitely could have used him. He would have had to have been a little older. He's a little too young to have played her mentor in this.
They have prosthetics for a reason.
I mean, I guess so.
Makeup is a total fucking thing. They can make you look old and shit without, like, any effort.
I'm trying to bring up this guy's name right now. Stanley Tucci would have done a great job.
Oh my god, yes!
In his position. I think that Stanley Tucci definitely would have done a fantastic job in his position. But there's one guy in particular that I think could have pulled off the certifiable badass, and I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head, and it's not coming. He was in The Kingsman, he was in Shazam. He was in Shazam as Dr. Shyvana, the main bad guy. So
okay. Yeah, no, I know who you're talking about.
I don't know what his name is off the top of my head. I'm looking it up. I'm doing
then
a little bit of Google.
Then just look up Shazam.
I'm doing a little bit of Google right now, which, you know, obviously. Oh my God. And I thought, oh, Mark Strong. As Dr. Shyvana, but I think Mark Strong definitely would have done a really good job in Woody Harrelson's position here.
Yeah.
Because you're looking for somebody that you're used to having a fairly stern demeanor. And when you give Woody Harrelson nothing to animate, it's just his delivery of his lines were just dull and lifeless. And I couldn't get into him in this movie.
Like, yeah.
Kill him sooner is the only thought that I knew he was the bad guy. I knew he was going to turn on her in some way, the way that he did things. I do like that several scenes of her crossing rooftops had a big building with Tokyo Ghoul playing on the building. That was good.
Dude, like, all of the fucking scene where she's, like, driving through the city, and she's, like, this is just after she got poisoned, and it's fucking, like, starting to really kick in.
Right.
And, like, she steals someone's car and fucking flips it. How the fuck did she not die, first of all, in that whole fucking car accident? She fucking rolled on a very busy street.
First of all, she... All the cars that she passed by, and she passed by several, She decided...
Everything's lit up fucking neon with LEDs and shit. It's fucking beautiful. I swear to God, boy, if you start yelling, I'm going to kick your ass.
She managed to steal the only vehicle that was like some kind of bubblegum pop metal nightmare. Just... It was horrible.
I want to visit. It looks fucking beautiful. It looks like so much fucking fun.
The car itself looked fun. As a getaway vehicle, not so much.
Just the whole, like, fucking vibe in Tokyo and shit.
Well, I mean, yeah, I want to go visit Tokyo, not for that car specifically.
Did I specifically say it was for the car?
Well, it started off by talking about the car and going through town.
It started talking about the scene with the car.
Right.
And I was talking about how, like, everything's all, like, lit up with LEDs. Not just the car, but, like, the whole fucking city.
Were you specific about wanting to see Tokyo in general?
In general, yeah.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I was.
You gotta walk me down that trail, like, blatantly. Otherwise, my mind just goes off everywhere. You've literally...
Anyway.
You take my hand, walk me down the trail. Because if you're not giving me the visuals, then if I fuck up... Well, it's still my fault, but, you know...
So she gets poisoned because she has a one-night stand with some random guy, and fucking right after they're done, she goes through his wallet and memorizes his fucking address, just in case.
Yeah, based off of that interaction between the two of them, they both should have gone home alone. They really should have.
Yeah.
Hey. You know, anything but hey.
Well, not even. Like, he had this whole fucking, like, pickup line that he fucked up with because he didn't get the right... fucking drink.
Well, you know, and the thing is that I think she would have gone home with him either way. I think after everything she had been going through, the fact that she had basically decided to move on and make something else out of her life, she had just had that conversation with her handler.
He spikes the bottle when they leave, and she fucking, like, she memorizes his fucking address, and while she's driving through the fucking city, fucked up beyond all comprehension, she finds this dude in his house, and his wife explains that, you know, they've been controlled by the Yakuza for ages, and this was their last job, and they were going to let them go and go start a new life. And, like, the wife is, like, totally cool about all of this. The fact that her husband just fucked some random bitch and she just broke into your house. She's being so fucking cool about it.
We're going to get to start a new life, and all you have to do is fuck this girl? Oh, yeah, let's do this. No.
Right?
No.
Right? That's not fucking worth it.
I don't know. I think a lot of this movie does speak on the culture in Japan. Like, Japanese culture is a little different than what we deal with. You've seen a lot of Japanese movies, Japanese anime, some of the stuff that they have. Women are extremely subservient and deal with a lot of fucking shit.
Yeah, they do.
A lot of shit. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that this woman would have been convinced that, hey, it's best for you if I fuck her. You know, something makes me feel like that wasn't out of the realm of possibility in that world.
But still.
I'm not saying that it didn't make me go, that guy's a scumbag. I'm just saying that maybe she didn't realize, based off of her other male interactions, that that guy was a scumbag.
Exactly.
It's possible. I think the Japanese in general, they're sort of a patriarchal society, aren't they?
Everyone is these days.
Everything south of the Mason-Dixon line is.
Everything is awesome!
No. It is not. So, she basically... She didn't beat the shit out of them, but she basically says, he's like, I don't know anything... And hopefully...
They told me it was a roofie. That's right. What he said.
And he basically says, if I say anything, they'll kill me. And she goes, if you don't, I'll kill her. Right?
Exactly.
Basically him saying that everything he did was so that they could have a life together. Okay, so he folds and he gives her what information he has. And she knows that is the Kajimi clan?
Kajima. Yeah.
How many times did I watch this movie... I'm going to tell you right now. I'm just going to say this. If we ever, like, you know, do Squid Game as one of our fucking episodes, if we ever do anything entirely Japanese-based, somebody else needs
Squid
to fucking...
Squid Game is Korean.
Korean. And this is where I inadvertently dive into a mild bout of racism. It wasn't intentional. It definitely wasn't intentional. anyway, I knew it was Korean too. I knew it was.
Yeah.
I'm just saying anything that has Asian names in it. Somebody else is
from Eastern culture,
basically. Because
yeah.
You're gonna somebody else is gonna have to handle the names because I suck. I genuinely suck. I can watch an entire show. I watched this movie I don't know how many times, right? And nothing. Nothing stuck. Kajimi.
Kajima.
See? There you go.
K-I-J-I-M-A. Kijima.
You just told me. And... Anyway.
It's okay. Anyway, she goes through this whole fucking scene where she starts fucking up the Yakuza in this, like, what, bathhouse? Is that what it is?
It looked like it was maybe part bathhouse. They were eating.
There was a whole, like, restaurant area.
It's like a restaurant slash bathhouse. There
was
also,
like, everyone was in, like, there was a bunch of people in, like, a sauna, maybe like, it was two rooms down.
Maybe it was a Japanese spa of some sort.
Possibly. Something like that. But she starts shooting all these people in the face, fucking. She gets, like, the head honcho guy, fucking shoots him in the face, grabs some other random guy, and he's, fucking goes to shoot him in the head. She ran out of bullets, and all his little buddies just, fucking start
whatever their shit. Whatever it was beforehand, it was a bloodbath afterwards. Just covered in everything.
She ended up getting these, like, adrenaline shots from the hospital.
Right. I remember her going to the hospital, and she got these, like, adrenaline shots in, like, EpiPen form. And so she's like, all I need is stimulants, because she wanted to make sure that she could continue to go until she was ready to drop. Until she had taken care of what she needed to take care of, and then she didn't care anymore.
Yeah, she wanted to finish the job.
And so...
So the guys at the bathhouse tell her that she can... The only person who can find Kijima is his niece.
Ani.
Who is the daughter of the guy that she killed at the beginning of the movie. The little girl that was...
Right.
Standing there next to her father when she fucking killed him.
Which is the brother of the lead Yakuza boss.
Mm-hmm. But everyone treats Ani like fucking shit because she's half white.
Right, and that's actually, she says that's the reason why she's never met her mother. So, immediately we're getting into, you know, another bit of Japanese culture. What do they call her mother? Genji or something like that? I'm trying to think of the word for it.
I know the word.
There's several words for it, but there was a specific word she used within the movie, basically explaining that her mother
Gaijin?
Was... Huh?
Gaijin.
Gaijin. Basically explaining that her mother was half white, and that she is as well, and that's why she's never seen her mother, is because her mother... It's also why they make a lot of very nasty comments towards Ani about being half-breed. Several of the people that are technically her protectors, but instead are trying to kill her to end the bloodline. They want her and her uncle dead to end the bloodline so that there can be a transfer of power, which, again, we find out later on, is orchestrated almost entirely by... Varric.
Renji and Varric.
Renji. Well, it was orchestrated by Varric, and Renji was working
the original kill was orchestrated by Varric, but after she told him that, you know, I'm out, I'm after this next kill, I'm done, he went to Renji and said, if she quits, if she walks away, I'll terminate her. And Renji took that as, okay, so I gotta take this bitch out, and fucking poisoned her with polonium-204.
Right.
To which we later find out that Varric didn't actually want her to die. He knew that she was going to come back. He was fucking working the game and shit.
And then after the massacre in the bathhouse, we move on to her going to find Ani. Her going to find Ani, and Renji has actually sicked the dogs on her. So basically saying, we want you to take out Kate, but not only do we want you to take out Kate, but we want you to kill Ani as well. We need her dead because we want to make sure that his bloodline goes no further. So it's beginning to seem like a lot of this stuff. At first, it looks like it's Renji that's orchestrating the whole thing, and that's what why I was a little. I was not completely surprised because I knew her handler, Woody Harrelson, always kind of plays scumbags. You know, yeah. It's not a lot of nice guy roles that he's played. So I was always a little wary. I'm like, something's gonna happen with this guy. Something doesn't seem right.
You know?
Especially given that, like, her parents were killed, and then immediately he's there to be her handler. And then when I see him doing the same thing with Ani later on in the movie, I'm like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. I mean, but we find out about... No, we don't find out about Varric's, like, actual intentions until, like, right after she goes to fucking find Kijima and shoot him, but she doesn't actually fucking shoot him, and then she finds out while she's with Kijima that it was all Renji and fucking Varric.
Right. And
it was that very last scene in fucking
everything leading up to the that climactic battle.
Before the whole fucking fight scene with Jojima.
Right. We're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that.
By panic.
Very quickly. Very quickly. We're gonna go ahead and dip out to our sponsors. And then we will be back to discuss the second half of the movie. So I'm glad you brought up Jojima.
Yeah.
I said that. Just Jojima.
Yeah, but the way you're saying it, Jojima.
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 Mochi mochi.
Oh my god. Never mind. Just keep going.
Anyway. Perhaps,
by panic, that whole scene.
Perhaps my favorite scene in the entire movie.
My favorite character. That whole fucking scene is just like pure by panic, and it's fucking wonderful.
He was, I don't know, something intense. Like, there is not, this is the thing that I got, though. Like, not a single other character outside of, I'm going to say his fucking name wrong again. Kojima?
Jojima?
No.
Oh, the Kojima?
Kojima. Outside of him, there's not another single person that I got the sense could go toe-to-toe with her. Alright?
Yeah.
She was fighting against large groups. This is the only guy that could stand toe-to-toe with her. Right? Which makes
the only reason he was taken out was because fucking Ani hit him with a meat?
A tenderizer. She tenderized his skull.
The big thing.
Yes, the meat mallet.
The meat hammer.
Meat tenderizer. Jojima.
Thor's hammer.
Yes. Ani's hammer, really.
She's like trying to put the gun together, put the fucking clip back into the gun, dropping it and shit, butterfingers and bullshit. Oh my god, this kid makes me want to fucking scream.
How long did she have to fuck with the fucking gun before she finally realized?
And then she shot Kate.
Right. Shot her. Well, that's not the first time she shoots. That's the first time she shoots her. She shoots her again. She definitely does.
Yeah.
That girl does more damage to Kate than anybody else in the movie. Really. If you think about
it. Well, no. I mean, she barely grazed Kate's fucking head.
The first time.
With the bullet.
The second time?
The second time.
That was the whole reason why her eye was completely bloody. I thought that shot was the reason why she had the bloody eye.
It was, like, it grazed her face and knocked her out, but she fucking...
Whatever it did, it was enough of an impact to knock her on her fucking ass for a while.
Yeah.
Right? So it could have ricocheted off her skull? You don't know?
I mean, she's also fucking, like, falling apart. She's dying. It's getting close to, like, the end of her life. The polonium's fucking, like, taking over.
Well, yeah,
she's running out of her fucking. She's on her like last adrenaline shot.
Advanced radiation poisoning. Just she was a mess. I mean, that eye could have been a contributing factor to that whole thing too. It could have just been part of the deterioration, you know. But whatever. The fact that after all that damage, she could saunter into that building, just a cigarette in her mouth, just walking in there like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna do this."
Just gonna fucking finish the job.
Yakuza plowing through the place around her. Just beautiful sight.
Yeah.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, as far as I'm concerned,
has never given a bad performance.
I have never seen her. The only performance that I was ever disappointed in, there was only one. And that was really, really early in her career. And that was Sky High. I really didn't like her in that movie. Everything That's else right. I've watched her in, I have thought she was absolutely perfect in. There are certain roles that I thought she would have been better in than the actresses that played them.
Yeah.
You know? So, honestly, I think that she's underutilized in Hollywood. And
oh, facts.
At this point, I'm thinking between this and her performance in, what was that movie? Why am I saying what was that movie? Scott Pilgrim. Between her performance between this and Scott Pilgrim, the fact that they don't utilize her more as an action star, I don't know why.
Plus fucking Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey?
She's Huntress.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. So yeah, why they don't use her more as an action star, I don't know. She is a certifiable badass.
Yeah, facts.
That being said, she was outshined a little bit by Jojima. Yes.
Yeah.
There is nobody that, in that movie.
That whole fucking scene is just fucking chef's kiss. It's perfection.
There's no other scene in that movie that I can.
The
I
way
can
she
pick
shatters the fucking
favorite.
the wine glasses perfectly to make little fucking stabby pokey things.
Right. Well, I mean, he was using scissors. Meat scissors to fucking go at her. So, of course she had to go and match him.
No, I know that, but fucking just the way she shatters it without shattering the fucking stem of the cups.
Right, well, the stems are quite a bit thicker. The glass, those...
Not really. Stems were, like, barely an inch thick.
So, right. Go ahead. I got a couple of wine glasses here. What we need to do is we need to shatter the wine glasses, and you'll see the stems are pretty much what's going to remain.
I want to do that whole scene.
Glass Wolverine claws. Just glass Wolverine claws.
That's amazing.
But and I was going to ask that question at the end of the movie, but I think it's sort of a general consensus. Like, the best scene in the movie...
Absolutely.
Was that fight scene.
Hands like, fucking down.
Perfectly choreographed, and even had that comedic backdrop of Ani trying to fumble a fucking gun together while she's getting her ass kicked.
Embarrassing. You are a child of the Yakuza, and you don't know how to put a gun together?
Well, she's a solidly ignored child of the Yakuza, if you remember her talking, because she's half white, they ignored the hell out of her.
What? Fucking 14 when her father died? She should have known how to put a fucking gun together by now.
Well, considering how considering how the Japanese...
He's a boss!
Considering how the Japanese treat their women, I'm gonna say it's more than likely... No. More than likely not. It probably was not a top priority. The only thing that they saw her as is probably a future continuation of his bloodline.
That's a guy with one kill. The guy with one kill.
Oh my god.
Fucking damage. We're not. This guy put into fucking damage.
Sorry.
And in the background, we have Fredo providing commentary on a game that has.
He did wait a while.
Nothing to do with what we're talking about. One kill. A guy with one kill. I mean, it could almost fit. It could almost fit. I think. I'm fairly certain, like, the bad guys in this movie had the same skills as your average stormtrooper in Star Wars, to be honest.
Yeah. How the fuck have they, like, survived up until now?
Right. I think that they highly... Here's my thing. These are the Yakuza. In general, as...
I don't know shit about the Yakuza.
As mobs go, training-wise, Yakuza members tend to be... Very highly skilled in the handling of weapons, and in some cases, martial combat, hand-to-hand combat. So the fact that they presented them as if they were a bunch of fumbling idiots who couldn't fire a fucking gun...
Right.
That's why I was terribly impressed with Jojima, because he was what I felt most of the people in this movie
should have been. He's so fucking savant about everything, it just...
Exactly.
That's a chef's kiss, guy. By the way, guys. Chef's kiss. I don't know. Y'all here is just a pop.
Pop, pop. Yep. No video here. We're just, you know, put the fingers to the lips. Mwah. You know. So. We move on through our final battle in the movie. Oh, no, no, we haven't moved on yet. We've gotten to the point where she is finally at the uncle's house.
At the tower where Varric's fucking holding Ani.
Oh, okay. No, we haven't gotten that far yet. We've gotten just as far as Jojima's fight.
Okay.
That's as far as we've gotten.
So Ani kills Jojima.
And they move on to, actually, shortly after that, they meet up with, was it Renji?
Renji.
And this is the fucking, first big
they
mistake.
They find Renji. Renji's sitting in his car with his drivers and fucking bodyguards and shit. And they see Ani standing in the middle of the fucking road. She puts her fingers up in a gun. She puts the finger guns up and pretends to shoot, and people start getting killed off.
First of all,
that is a fucking great scene.
It was a great scene, but if you
have
you
ever
seen...
It's also derivative off something else that I remember, but I don't.
I do. Chris Evans in the movie The Losers, where he's trying to escape, and he puts out his hand, and he points at each individual person, and way out in another tower, his sniper friend is picking off each guy that he's pointing at, all to the music of Don't Stop Believing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it felt like sort of a rip-off of that, and I really feel like I may have even seen that particular scene done somewhere else before. And if you're listening to the podcast and you know what scene I'm talking about, please, for the love of God, go over to Anchor, leave us a message, and tell us what the fuck I'm missing. Please. Because I know there's
like
seen
there was
it
something
somewhere
else
before.
That...
I've seen it somewhere. I don't know where.
I've seen it, like, a couple of times. But my idiot pigeon brain is doing the nut thing. Not the thing. It's not doing the thing. There we go.
It's late after work in the middle of the week when we're recording this. So this is hump day. We're recording on a Wednesday. It'll be released on a Saturday. So
I am toasty.
We are both exhausted and doing our best to just kind of keep on track, which is more than we normally do. So that's good. So, basically, they shoot the two bodyguards.
They think Renji a lot. They think Renji is fucking harmless. They think he's just a fucking side character.
Biggest fucking mistake that they made this entire movie.
Stupid as fucking... She kills everybody else off and fucking leaves Renji alive. Fuck Renji!
Because they're banking on the fact that either she's going to be dead soon, or they're banking on the fact that they're going to go... She's going to go kill their main target. You know,
yeah, that's the thing. He redirects them over to Kijima.
Right. So basically, she thinks
he's
getting what she
wants.
He's
expecting her to fucking do what he wants.
Right.
He wants Kijima to fucking die off so that he can inherit the fucking whole clan bullshit and
he basically,
you know, do his little fucking like manipulation shit with Varric.
And so they redirect that way, which is really where Renji and Varric's plans sort of fall apart, because they go through the Bond speech. The thing that you never do. You should never do the whole big reveal. If she was already dead, that would have been one thing. But she had just gone in to speak to him. And now we have Varric, who pulls up outside, and he's talking to Ani, and basically laying out everything that Kate had done. Basically, the fact that she was the one that killed her father and blah, blah, blah. He's basically advising her. It's like, oh, she didn't tell you, did she? You know, you don't know who killed your father?
Yeah.
And Varric is doing this basically, I believe, the same way that he did with Kate and her parents. I'm guessing Kate was, her parents were also part of the casualty. Like, you know, you're...
Collateral damage.
Which leads Ani to go off into a rage, does not allow Kate to explain herself at all, but really, what is there to explain there?
Well, Kate's still, like, in the fucking family house, the Kijima family house. Right. Fucking, they hear the gunshot go off, Kate comes out, and fucking Ani's like, you killed my whole entire family! I trusted you! Shoots her, and then drives off with Varric.
She doesn't end up killing Kijima. As a matter of fact, she realizes after...
She left him alive.
She didn't just leave him alive. She realizes after all the conversation that they had that what was actually going on. So she came to a realization and went outside to go get Ani, and Varric has already got her, basically.
Oh, she didn't come to the realization. Kijima fucking gave her all the photo evidence.
But, well, that's what I'm saying. The conversation with him, and everything was basically laid bare. She put one and one together and went, oh, well, now I know who's fucking me. You know?
Yeah. Fucking...
And this leads to the second bullet that Ani basically... This one was on purpose, though. This was definitely on purpose. So Ani lays her out. They think that she's dead. Okay, so they think that she's basically been killed, and Varric drives off with who he's going to now be the handler to Ani. That's what he's trying to play up. He goes, no, we don't need to kill her. I'm going to be her handler, and I'm going to treat her the same way I treated Kate. And he's trying to turn the whole thing around. And he goes off to meet up with Renji at the tower. You know, where everything is basically... It's basically started and began around there. Started and ended around the same area. Because you get the same view of the building with the anime playing up the side of it.
Yeah.
Now, she's laid out in the middle of the dirt. And I believe this is where Kojima...
We already went through this.
No, but he brings her back.
You just got all the way to them going to the fucking place.
No, I got towards
Kojima
Varric.
Kojima walks out and gives her the last adrenaline shot.
Right. I got to Varric and then taking off with Annie.
Ah, okay. Well, fucking Kojima gives her last adrenaline shot. She takes that shit and they go to fucking get Annie with his whole fucking little Yakuza army.
And, by the way...
And they fuck shit up.
Another one of my favorite scenes. This is... It has nowhere near as good as the fight between Jojima and Kate. But Renji and Kojima, their fight...
There wasn't even really much of a fight. Fucking Kijima cut his head off.
No, he didn't cut off... It's the other way around. Kijima, yes, right, sorry. My brain.
Yeah.
And you walked me down the path and gave me the direct answer, and my brain said, fuck it, she's wrong! Wait, she's right! Fuck, shut up!
I walked you down the path, gave you the answer, and your brain said no.
Exactly. My.
Fuck.
You shall not listen to logic this evening. These are facts, and facts are not. Facts? Are they? Maybe?
Facts are not facts. What?
So,
they fuck shit up. Kijima cuts Renji's head off, and fucking they get to the last room. Kate walks in, fucking finds Varric with Ani,
and Woody Harrelson Bond villain speech part two is what takes place.
Yeah, here.
All of our plans, why we had to kill you. You're gonna die soon anyway, so it doesn't matter. She's like, right, I'm going to die soon anyway. I'm going to take you with me.
But, fucking, they end up shooting each other. And she aims for the gut because it's personal.
Exactly.
He goes through this whole thing at the beginning of the movie about how, you know, you always shoot for, like, the head or the heart or whatever. But if you shoot in the gut, it's personal.
Another, we actually skipped over another one of my favorite scenes in the movie. There's a scene where... There's a guy with, like, I don't know if it's like an AK-47 or something coming after Kate, and they both run out of bullets at the same time, and it's a race for them to both load their next clip. And she beats them like a hair of a second.
Yeah.
I thought that was...
I liked the scene where, like, they're going through, like, her years as each bullet she's older.
Right? So, they go through her years. I like that initial scene where she pulls the gun to go shoot the guy, and it's empty. And they all laugh at her, and she throws the gun down and just stabs him to death.
Yeah.
It's like, no, don't stab. Don't laugh.
That's the fucking, like, that was the second time that shit happened. She goes to fucking shoot the guy, and clip's empty, and they all just fucking...
Right.
Attack and shit. Just, ha! And she's fucking in the bathhouse when, she, like, the guy's clip empties, and she goes, boo!
I like that there's a... You know, the actress that plays Ani, she doesn't have a long history yet as an actress.
I didn't like her character. It's so fucking annoying. But she did well for, you know, what she was given.
A vast majority of what she's done prior to this has been children's television. So...
Oh, yeah, she's a kid.
Right. Well, I'm just saying she doesn't have a lot of experience as an actress. There was a couple of movies I saw on IMDb for her, but nothing major. So... the performances that she gave, there was a couple of the, you know, she was an angsty teen that people don't give a fuck about. And mind you, it's a high level amount of don't give a fuck. Because she's dealing, she's basically akin to the Yakuza. And when they solidly ignored her and treated her like they don't give a fuck about her, on top of the fact that they tried to kill her throughout the damn movie, of course, you're going to generate a don't give a fuck attitude. I think she actually did pretty well for the performance that she gave, but I especially appreciated the performance that she gave at the end of the movie. The realization, it wasn't a lot of her talking, but it was a realization that came over her face as Varric and Kate are going back and forth and talking, and he's basically laying out what a piece of shit he is, right? But also trying to kind of convince Ani to be his next protege.
Yeah.
Right? So he's trying to paint Kate in a bad light, and the more that they talk, the more that you're realizing Varric's a real fucking dick. Like, a real dick. And it all ends pretty much how you'd expect it to end. You know, she gets her last shot in, and then ends up crawling out to the balcony, where she basically dies in Ani's arms.
Yeah.
Watching the anime going on over the building. End scene. I think it was a good ending. I think that...
It was.
I like that they didn't make the typical Hollywood BS mistake. They gave
it... Where they just leave it a cliffhanger?
Well, no, not just a cliffhanger, but they gave it closure. All right?
Yeah.
There's really nothing for Ani to rebel against at this point because all the people that faulted her are dead.
Are dead.
Right, so she can go back, you know, with Kijima, and... Go ahead.
Kijima.
So, whatever. You're going to say the names so many times, and there's something...
And you're going to forget every time.
Have you not seen that whole episode with Joey and Phoebe's trying to teach him a new language?
French.
You're Phoebe and I'm Joey and you're trying to tell me you're trying to talk French in one ear and it's coming out blah 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 blah. So my brain is not processing what it's supposed to.
Alright.
So now that we've finished up the movie, who do you feel outside of Woody Harrelson, which we both agree kind of delivered a not so great performance, who do you feel gave the worst performance in the film?
Renji?
Renji. I don't feel like... He didn't even come off as weaselly, or like... He didn't come off as anything other than just...
He was just there. There wasn't fucking... There was no...
There's one guy...
There's nothing to it. There's nothing to his character. He's fucking boring. He's fucking, like, empty as a fucking personality.
Okay. I was gonna say, Oh, God. I don't know what his name is. I don't know that they gave the final thug that she killed in the bathhouse a name. I don't know that they gave him a name.
Oh, yeah. The guy that fucking ratted out Ani.
I know I've seen him in something else before. But, yeah, he's the one that ratted out Ani, gave Ani up. And just, I thought he was probably one of the worst performances in the movie. Like, even as a sniveling, kind of weaselly guy that's about to get his head blown off...
He didn't even fucking, like...
He didn't make me mad at him. He didn't make me sympathetic to him. I just didn't feel anything about him one way or the other. There is one guy that, for all intensive purposes, delivered a horrible performance, but it was so underwhelmingly bad, it came off so comedically wonderful. The doctor that tells her she's going to die. When she gets pissed... And flips everything off, and he walks off. I'll go get a nurse, and walks away. Just that was beautiful.
Nope, fuck this! I'm not dealing with it. Goddamn Americans!
When the doctor. Now this gives you another idea about how they treat women in Japan. When the doctor.
Well, I mean, he kind of like gets it. He's like, this girl needs space for a minute. I'm gonna go get a nurse. Let them know. Fucking maybe they can give you. Because the nurses are the ones that actually, like, administer all the fucking medicine and fucking everything.
I know, but this girl just threw shit around in a rage. Maybe get an orderly. But a nurse? You're sending a nurse into that.
Who knows? It could be a fucking male nurse.
Oh, you made a valid point. You and your valid
point.
It
could be a very strong-ass female nurse, too.
Dave Bautista is a nurse. There you go.
I want to see Dave Bautista in a fucking nurse costume now.
Right, just in a Candy Stripers outfit. There you go. You hear that, Dave? We will pay for you to do an acting role in a Candy Stripers outfit.
I don't know who's paying, but it's not me.
I've got 25 cents. that's what I've got right now. Paydays in 2 days. I've got nothing.
Life is hard.
Yes, life is very difficult. Maybe we can drum up some donations. We can go find some donations to the Get Dave Bautista to Dress Like a Nurse Fund, I guess.
Just not even a fund. Fucking just petition.
Petition? Well, yeah, but I don't think Dave Bautista is getting in a nurse's outfit without a little bit of a monetary.
Well, he has to agree to it first.
Right.
Before we actually put out a petition.
Dave, so. if we get a petition together, will you...
Dave, will you, we love you. Dave. Put on the nurse's costume.
Dave Bautista, outside of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Dave Bautista...
Dwayne would totally do it.
Dave, well, yeah, he's been in a tutu before. So... But outside of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Bautista is probably one of the only other wrestling actors that I absolutely love. Like, and the thing is that he's just like The Rock, you know, he's just like The Rock, as in he's willing to push himself comedically. Like, he knows he's a big guy, and he is more than willing to take a pratfall and make fun of the fact that he's big and he puts himself in situations... Like, he's got this weird commercial that he does. Oh, I don't even know what it's for. I think it's like a video game commercial, maybe for the Nintendo Switch or something. But he's out in the middle of a lake in a canoe wearing a fisherman's outfit. And he's got like a gray beard and gray hair. And he's just going, just acting. Acting just absolutely batshit fucking crazy, like he had just downed a jug of moonshine. That being said, thank you once again for sitting down and letting us talk your ear off about some of our favorite movies. I really don't have anything else to say.
I am good. Drink some fucking water, you thirsty bitches.